Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, May 2nd, 2024. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. I'm going to go around the room here and introduce this cast of characters that we have on this show, like I forgot to do last week and didn't do it till the closing of the episode, because we just, last week's episode, between the week before falling apart for Jason and Rob and us trying to get the ship back and get the rudder back in the water last week, I completely was off my game. Starting from the Rob the Genius podcast, he is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He's the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast and the man with the golden shovel. Mr. Rob, welcome back, sir. How are you?
Good to be back.
Well, good to have you. Good to have you. We got a lot to talk about tonight. The Mindless Wrestling Podcast resident high flyer, Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window, Jason. I missed half of your intro because I'm still off my game. How are you?
I am wonderful, gentlemen. It's great to be back.
I'm really, like, mentally on another planet here lately. Like, and again, my own intro, DJ, the man with the award-winning and holy beard, just between the work stuff and I've got Welcome to Rockville next week, which I need to talk to you guys about. Can we record Wednesday night?
Oh, sure.
Next week?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Cause yeah. I'm out of town from Thursday through Monday. So, and I got to get this done on Wednesday, send it over to Tunney probably Thursday morning, and then I'm out the door. So we'll record a day early next week. But yeah, I'm just mentally like on another planet. Like I don't even know what day it is half the time anymore. I had the 3 week break between jobs. And then shit fell apart with that job, and I've been back at the old job, and I'm just, like, scatterbrained all to hell. So trying to do this podcast and then just different things. I was supposed to do a podcast Tuesday night with EJ and bailed on that just because mentally Tuesday was a shit show of a day at work. And I got out of work. And you ever have a day where you're, like, exhausted and angry at the world because the day was just so bad? That's what I was, because I fully intended to record with you guys on Tuesday, and then as we got closer to 5-6 o'clock, I texted the boys. I'm like, look, I've had a shit day. I just can't do this. So we're gonna try to get it together here. We got a lot to talk about. A lot of WWE stuff happened in the last 7 days. We had the post WrestleMania draft. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, give our thoughts, talk about the new rosters moving forward, coming out of WrestleMania, new chapters for some people, new season for us. And then we're going to talk, we've got from France, WWE Backlash coming up Saturday. And I love this because it's one of those noontime pay-per-views or premium live events. So I'm looking forward to that. So either one of you got anything before we get into this tonight?
Oh, let's get to it. Let's do it.
All right, Jason, you ready?
I'm ready to rock and roll.
All right. Well, the rest of the WWE draft happened this week. Started last week on Raw and wrapped up on SmackDown. And a lot of the chatter online, like, I didn't watch the shows because I generally think, like, the presentation of the draft shows is kind of boring. So I didn't really watch it. I paid more attention to the roster switches and kind of the general consensus that I got from a lot of people on my timeline and people that I interact with is that there weren't anything, nothing real shocking. One thing I liked that they did this year, and I've talked about this in years past, is that the champions were exempt from the draft. And I think I said that about 2 years ago on this show around the draft time, that I felt like the champions should have been exempt because the belt switches, and I don't think we need to go too far down this road, were always horrible. I mean, the only time we ever got it that it was halfway decent was when the New Day and the Usos traded belts.
It was New Day and Street Profits.
Street Profits, that's right. It was New Day and the Street Profits. That's the only time where I was at least remotely satisfied with a belt swap. We had that horrible segment between Becky and Charlotte, which turned into a bit of a work shoot. I know Rob's over here grinning and smiling. No, that's what started his disdain for the orange haired lady.
Yeah, that's what started it.
I just never thought that the belt swaps made a whole lot of sense. Like, I just thought it was dumb. It's like, okay, if you're the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, just stay on SmackDown. Like, what are we doing? So glad to see that. Jason, let's start with you. Were there any big surprises, anything you're excited about in the draft this year?
I'm excited that basically Raw became the home of big men. And I'm excited for that. And I think they balance the shows pretty well. Sometimes I feel like we walk out of these drafts and we're like, oh wow, what's Raw going to do for 3 hours? But they balance everybody really well this year. The presentation, again, the two-part presentation of the draft was really good.
Okay. Rob, how about you? Any like thoughts here?
I don't, like, some people were not happy with, like, I guess with the television show itself. I think because, like, the stuff, the other parts of the show that they booked were largely kind of just throwaway kind of stuff.
It was filler for sure.
Yeah. And I think this year, I think they kind of overdid it as far as presenting it as such. Cause last year they had on Friday, they had a rematch between the Usos and Sammy and Kevin. And, you know, that was a big deal. And, they didn't have anything remotely like that on either show this year of that significance.
Right.
And so, I get why people would say that the shows were boring because, again, they had a bunch, the matches were filler matches for the most part.
Yeah.
And the one downside to exempting the champions is that even if they get drafted to the same show, it's still a moment for, like, well, where's the world champion going? So by just completely taking that out of it, I mean, you do kind of remove some suspense. Now, I guess the only reason that there was suspense was because they would do stupid things like swap the champions in the past. Right.
Right.
So because there's this history of doing that, it does make it a kind of a dramatic point to look forward to. You know, like, well, what dumb shit are they going to do this year? So by just exempting the champions, you took that away. And so one of the main reasons to watch that, you know, they kind of got rid of, even though, I mean, it's a logical thing to do, but, and as far as, like, and I was surprised. Well, there are a few that picks that went differently than I thought they would. Like, I thought they were going to send Gunther over to SmackDown to eventually lock horns with Cody. And they didn't. So he's still on Raw. I thought they would. I did predict that Damage Control was going to come over to Raw, and that happened. And that needed to happen because they need to get them away from Bianca. Good God. They need to get them away from each other for a while at least. And, you know, I think moving Nia over to SmackDown was a good idea because if she wasn't going to win the women's title on Raw, then you kind of reach that point where you're like, okay, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
What's there to do with her? If she's not going to win the title, then, you know, what are we doing?
Immediately made a hell of a statement on SmackDown.
Right. So now, you know, there's something, whether she wins the title over there or not, at least it's interesting now. Now it's not, you know. So I thought that was a good move to do that.
Well, I'll also interject there in regards to the champion, like with that example, in regards to the champions not moving, that added an interesting wrinkle to me because for every single person we knew who was drafted immediately when they were drafted, we knew kind of what stratosphere they'd settle in, what orbit they'd end up like, oh, okay, well, he's going to be in the IC title picture, or okay, he and Cody are, oh, he's away from Cody, or he's going to be on the same show as, you know, the Bloodline. You could see that stuff right away. So that added a little bit of entry to that, because the champions stayed put.
Right. Couple of notable things for me that I thought were interesting is that they split up a couple of feuding factions in the roster. Number one being LWO, you know, LWO coming over to the Raw roster and Legado del Fantasma staying on SmackDown. And we're like right in the middle of a hot feud that didn't seem to have a real good conclusion. We just had Carlito revealed as the one who attacked Dragon Lee?
Yeah.
So, and, you know, they're still actively
drafted. He got drafted with them.
Yes.
He was included. So, like, that was immediately people were kind of commenting on, like, okay, how's that going to shake out?
Right. And then also, as we talked, as Rob mentioned earlier, we had Damage Control, who's still actively feuding with, you know, and then there's a Women's Tag Team Championship match coming up this weekend with the Kabuki Warriors versus Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. Now, that could very well be the blow-off. I do expect, we can talk about this more as we go down that card, I do expect that to be the only title to change hands this weekend. When we talk about the champions being exempt, interestingly enough, the women's tag team champions were not exempt. Because right now the Kabuki Warriors are, you know, still the women's tag team champions, and they were drafted over with the entirety of Damage Control. So from, you know, SmackDown to Raw, which I think is a good move for them. Like, they are going to Raw, right? I got that right?
Your Damage Control, yeah, they're going to Raw.
Yeah, Damage Control went to Raw. Okay, yeah, I got that. I've got it right here in front of me, but I had scrolled down. I'm definitely interested to see what they do with splitting them up. Another one that I thought was rather interesting, because I think this will be a good move for them, is Final Testament. Like, I want to like this. I do. I think SmackDown was the wrong place for it. And yes. Now that we've moved on from the feud with Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, they went down to NXT. They made a huge impact in NXT. I really hope that they refresh this thing on Raw and find something for these guys to do. Because it's, as a concept, it's really good, you know. But the execution has not been good. So let's see if they can freshen it up on Raw. I'm just going to go down I'm going to start with the Raw roster, and you guys please stop me if there's anything you want to talk about. Okay. Obviously the champions, Damian Priest, World Heavyweight Champion, remains on Raw, same as Becky Lynch, Women's World Champion, Tag Team Champions, Awesome Truth State, Sami Zayn, Intercontinental Champion. Imperium, Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser, obviously they split off from Vinci. You know, Kaiser turned on Vinci. Vinci got drafted over to SmackDown, which I think will be good for him. They've been trying to push him as a single star for 2 years. Again, we mentioned Damage Control in its entirety. CM Punk, which I think we knew was going to stay on Raw. No big surprise there. Braun Strowman, good to see him back. I don't know if he's going to be active for a little while or whether they just got him on TV. Again, the aforementioned LWO. Drew McIntyre, obviously they're not splitting up a feud with him and CM Punk anytime in the near future, so he's going to stay on Raw. But that's a good move for him because Drew absolutely should be in that World Heavyweight Championship orbit. Yes. So, and you know, so that's a good spot for him. Judgment Day remains on Raw. Night, I like to see that. Ilya Dragunov coming up from NXT. I think we all expected that to happen. And, you know, when he lost the NXT championship to Trick Williams, you know, we just knew it was only a matter of time at that point. And I think Raw is the right place for him because there's some really good talent on here he can mix it up with. The New Day are remaining on Raw. Lyra Valkyria moved up from NXT to Raw. I like that. I talked about the Final Testament. Where's he at? I just saw him on here. Oh, we're still not done. Jey Uso staying on Raw. Big Bronson Reed staying on Raw. Seth Rollins, obviously another World Heavyweight Championship orbit guy, not leaving Raw. Bron Breakker, this is neat because Bron Breakker, they made a big pomp and circumstance, what, about a month or so ago, about him signing a SmackDown contract.
Yeah.
And then he gets drafted to Raw. Mine and Jason's girl, Liv Morgan, remains on Raw. Ricochet remains on Raw. Sheamus is on Raw now. Sheamus after being off TV for the better part of the year. Alpha Academy, I think, is a good spot for them. Going to stay there. Let's see what happens with them, though, because that team may split up with, you know, with Chad Gable running them into the ground about a week or so ago.
Yeah.
Another NXT call-up, Kiana James. I like this. A bit of a new girl on the scene in NXT, but she's been putting in the work. I like her. I like her chances here. This one was interesting. Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn moved over to Raw. They've been on SmackDown now for, what, a year, year and a half, Rob?
Yeah, they've been mostly in witness protection.
witness protection. So hopefully they do something with them. Ivar is going to be interesting because I know Eric is still out injured, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see what happens with the Vikings, whether or not they ultimately split those guys up. And also, what's her name? Valhalla is pregnant again.
Yeah.
So she'll be off TV for the foreseeable future. So it looks like Ivar is going to be on his own for a while. Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark, both picked up after SmackDown ended last week. The Creed Brothers and Ivy Nile, again, picked up after Raw ended. The New Catch Republic, I hate that freaking name, now on Raw. Our boy, friend of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, Dijak, finally graduating from NXT, coming up to the main roster. I like it, Jason.
Finally, I'm happy for my guy. He will find a wonderful life as a good hand and hopefully a United States or Intercontinental, two-time Intercontinental United States champion.
We will always put over Dijak on this show. Just seems like a good dude. He's incredible in the ring, but he, more importantly to me, he gets it. Like, and what I really like, and I'm going to take a little sidebar here about Dijak. You want so many people bellyache about wins and losses. And, oh, well, this one got buried. They can't win a feud. They can't win this. And we've done this on this show with Dijak. Like, Jason has, like, practically been on the therapy couch over Dijak losing repeatedly and losing and losing and losing. And it's like, over the course of the last year, the only real notable feud that Dijak has won has been against Joe Gacy. But under the undercurrent of all of that is that Dijak has slowly increased his own stock within the company and within the face of the fans. Like, you watch that, Dijak gets an incredible reaction. And because people know that when he shows up, you're going to get one hell of a good match. And I love that for him.
Yep, I was very, very excited for my guy. He's just a great dude. So
he really, in all the interactions you've had with him and the stuff I watch him on Twitter, the guy just gets it, man. On all level, he gets it. And I love that.
I did have to ask him, and apparently he heard rumors, but his reaction or non-reaction, such as it was, of him getting drafted was live. He heard rumors, but he had no idea.
I like, and I believe as a shoot, they do keep some of the talent in the dark. Like, I think some of the higher up talents probably know, hey, you're not going anywhere because we need you. You're part of a major angle. Like CM Punk and Drew McIntyre had to know that they weren't going anywhere. Right. So, you know, guys like that are probably like some of the lower cards, like where was she at? Kiana James, King, or Dijak, just people like that. They're probably not real sure. Probably weren't even expecting a call up. You know, and I think that's even cooler when they're like not even expecting it, and the boss comes out, oh yeah, well, by the way, next week report to Raw. You know?
Guys like Melo, who by the way was the first pick of SmackDown for night two. I think he was probably told in advance, hey kid, probably pack for this show, and this show.
Yeah. Well, that's the same thing with Bron Breakker. Bron Breakker probably knew. They probably told him ahead of time. It's like, oh, you're on SmackDown for now, but coming up, you're probably going to move to Raw.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Oh, because I was surprised at Kiana James because I was expecting Fallon Henley to get drafted, you know, and because it looked like, you know, a couple of weeks ago that she had, you know, because she lost, I think it was Jada Parker, and it was one of those, like, it wasn't anything, it wasn't, you know, it was just, it seemed like a kind of, well, you
run,
know,
run him out of the territory?
Or not, or just, or yeah, kind of thing, right? And so I was surprised to see her, because I figured she was going to get drafted, so I was surprised, you know, because I haven't really kept up with enough to see how Kiana James was doing, but from what I've heard, she's been doing really well. So, and I think one thing that's good is they didn't draft as many NXT people this year, because last year they drafted like a dozen NXT people, and that was a mistake.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to the bottom of this list, and that's one of the people we're going to talk about.
Okay. But, who else went wrong? I was fine with most of the picks because the thing about it with SmackDown is, like, you either got to, I mean, you don't really have room to breathe or to grow on SmackDown.
It's a 2-hour show.
And, like, you got to be somebody who you got to be ready to go. Like, you got to be somebody that they can just put out there.
Yeah.
And so it's not the place to be if, like with the Final Testament, they needed time to gel together. They need to beat some people because the kind of group they are, putting them into a feud right away with Bobby and the Street Profits, which I think was a mistake because somebody has to lose and you don't really want either one of them to lose right away.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Final Testament, and this is where, again, you said giving them more time. With SmackDown, there's no time to build that. So they've, like, I look at their presentation. They were, like, Karrion Kross does, like, all these little things on Twitter. And it's really good, or he'll do it on Instagram, and it's really good. But this is the stuff we need to be seeing on TV, and it just never makes it on TV. So what we get on TV is like some watered down version of what he's trying to do. And I think with Raw having more TV time, you'll get more time to flesh out exactly what he's trying to do with this.
And then, like I said, because they need to beat people, and the problem,
right.
One of the problems with him since he came back. He came back and they put him in there with Drew McIntyre right away.
Oof.
You know, and he needs to beat people, right? And, you know, and then they put the group together and they had to feud with Bobby and the Street Profits. And again, they need to beat people. But you have them beat Bobby and the Street Profits. Then we're all like, oh, really? You know,
We tend to be very protective of Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. And the Street Profits. So, I mean, and so, They need to go out, they need to beat people. And so, and they're with more time being on a 3-hour show, you can put them in a program with people and give it time to grow into something. And you can also have them beat people.
Yeah. Right?
So I think putting them on Raw, I think was a good idea. Damage control at this point, yes, I think they need, the Raw women's roster, after you got past like the top three or four, it was, well, put it this way, they weren't being booked like the bookers thought much of them. Okay.
Right.
I'll say that without sounding like I'm disparaging anybody. You can look at how much time people were getting. If you weren't in there with, you know, Becky or Rhea for the most part, or Nia and Liv had some time together. Everybody else, if you were not in there with any of them, you got nothing, basically. Or when the Kabuki Warriors came over to defend the tag team titles, they give you some time with them.
Yep.
But when the rest of those women were fighting each other, they're not getting a whole lot of time. I think so. Bringing damage control over there, you got four women who you can put kind of smack. They can be the workers of the division because, Rhea's out, and you know Nia's over on SmackDown now, and you can't afford to have Becky or Liv get injured, right? So they're probably not going to be wrestling very much for the next couple of months on TV.
Right.
So you need somebody who can wrestle on TV who is not going to get relegated to 2 minutes when they're out there. And so I think bringing damage control over there takes care of that. And folks, again, I'm not disparaging anybody. I'm just saying, look at how, you know, they get the time that they get.
Yeah.
And so at this point, it is what it is. And you know, if you know, to get more time, you got to put people on there that get more time.
Right.
And so I think with damage control over there, some of that stuff will start getting some more time now. So I think putting them over there was a good idea. Let me see who else from Raw. I kind of wish they had sent Bronson Reed over to SmackDown because he's kind of at that point now where it's like, okay, well, how many more times is he going to lose?
Right. What I find interesting about Bronson Reed is we now have three Brons.
Oh yeah.
on Raw, we've got Braun Breaker, Braun Strowman, and Bronson Reed. It's like we need to have a triple threat for the Braun name and call it real. Rounding out the Raw roster, Natalya picked after Raw ended, and Odyssey Jones. There's a name I didn't think we'd be saying on our podcast here. Odyssey Jones, also known as Witness Protection Jones. Got drafted to SmackDown like 2 years ago and has not worked one single SmackDown episode.
He has not been on TV one time.
One time. And that's a shame because I've seen him on the when I go to the NXT loops when he was still down in NXT. What a hoss. Like, what an absolute hoss. And I know he was injured for a little while, but I don't know if he's healthy. I don't know if he's ready to go. He's a guy I'd like to see on TV. We are big fans of the Haas's here, and he's a Haas. Maybe, and this may very well be why they pulled Dijak up. Dijak has shown that he is a guy who can tell you, okay, yeah, this guy's got it or this guy don't. And that was kind of the role he was in NXT, and maybe pulling him up to Raw will get Odyssey Jones on TV, maybe have him feud with Dijak and Dijak can say, yeah, okay, he's got it. But I'm looking at some of the potential matchups. And again, I'll go back to Dijak. Dijak and Sheamus. Inject it into my veins, man. Give it to me. Dijak and, you know, Drew McIntyre. Dijak and Seth Rollins when Seth's back and healthy. I mean, there's so many good things here on Raw. I like it. I like the whole pick. Like I said, not a lot of surprises. You know, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, provided they do something with them.
Oh, that's, yeah. I was going to say that's another thing. Them coming over, I think, is a good idea because, again, they needed time and they weren't going to get it.
Right. So that rounds out the Raw roster. Jason, you got any final words on the Raw side of things?
No, I'm really excited for Dijak to win the World Heavyweight Championship.
Okay. We'll earmark him for that. We'll pencil that right in. All right, let's get to the SmackDown roster here. And again, you guys stop me if you got any thoughts. Obviously, undisputed WWE Universal Champion Cody Rhodes not being drafted. He's on SmackDown. Bayley not eligible for the draft. SmackDown Women's Champion. A-Town Down Under, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, WWE Tag Team Champions. Logan Paul, current reigning WWE United States Champion. All staying on SmackDown, we knew that. Round one, pick two, Jade Cargill. Awesome pick for her. Kevin Owens staying on SmackDown, which I think is a good move for him. The Pride, Bobby Lashley with B-Fab, Street Profits, Montez Ford, and Angelo Dawkins. Round two picks, staying on SmackDown. Tiffany Stratton staying on SmackDown. Legado del Fantasma staying on SmackDown. Nakamura was previously on Raw, though, right?
Yeah.
He's kind of a guy who's kind of come in and gone. I think this might be a nice refresh for Shinsuke, and I hope he sticks with the heel character, you know, because I'm digging this. I'm digging the presentation. Naomi stays with SmackDown. Piper Niven and Chelsea Green drafted over to SmackDown. I like that. I like that because that'll give them some time to do something a little bit different. Pretty Deadly remains on SmackDown. Elton Prince and Kit Wilson. This I really like because, again, this gives you some depth to the roster and gives these girls maybe – I know we talk about Raw giving people more time, but I think Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell going to SmackDown is the right idea, especially if Jade and Bianca win at Backlash this weekend. You've got a built-in women's tag team ready to go. And I think if they can build up this heel tag team with Candice LeRae and Indy at least physically is on par with Jade and Bianca. So I think that can make for some really good stuff. DIY, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. I originally called for them to win the tag team champion, the SmackDown tag team champions, and go back to SmackDown. They got drafted there anyway. So, you know, you've got those guys in the mix for potential tag team championship run. Blair Davenport, another NXT call-up. Really excited about this one. I've been high on Blair Davenport for a while, and I think she's done about all she can do out now in NXT. She's carried a bunch of those girls down there. It's time for her to come up, and I'm really excited for what she can, because she's another one who physically stacks up with somebody like Bianca or Jade, at least like stature-wise. So, and she can go. Like, she's a hell of a talent in the ring. Carmelo Hayes, as Jason pointed out, round one pick for SmackDown. Randy Orton, SmackDown wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
Nia Jax, we talked about earlier. She made a hell of an impact. LA Knight wasn't going anywhere. There's just, I think him staying on SmackDown's the right move. I think if he goes over on Raw, he just gets lost in a sea of a lot of stuff going on. So, the Bloodline in its entirety. Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, Paul Heyman. Interestingly enough, they do not have Jimmy Uso. Well, no, Jimmy got booted. Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
Jimmy got booted. I remember that. AJ Styles remaining. What's up?
I said Jimmy got spiked.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Andrade remains on SmackDown. Cedric Alexander, Ashante, The Adonis. Baron Corbin coming back up to the main roster, SmackDown bound. I'm interested to see what he does. The OC, Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, and Mishim Mia Yim are going to SmackDown. Giovanni Vinci, SmackDown bound. Tegan Knox, I think that's a good spot for her. And Apollo Crews, hopefully we get him back out of Witness Protection Program and back on TV. That rounds out the SmackDown roster, guys. Any thoughts?
No, I like it. I mean, it's, I don't feel like there's a glut either way. They just got this year right. It feels like there's a good balance. Well done, everyone.
Yeah. I like the potentials for the tag team division here on SmackDown, because obviously right now you got the champions, A-Town down. And you've got now, I would love to see them in a good feud with the OC. I think Gallows and Anderson could really have a really good program with those guys. And I know they, since they've been there, they've just been kind of existing kind of in the background. I think if you're going to do anything with meaningful with those guys, now's the time. You know, now that you've kind of cleared the field on SmackDown, and it'll depend on what they do as far as the tag team division with, a Cedric and Ashante. I'd like to see them do something meaningful with Cedric. There's a lot of good potential here. Carmelo Hayes, obviously, you know, I think at some point, if I had to pick at this point, Carmelo will be the one to unseat Logan Paul for the U.S. Championship.
I dig it.
And like right now, if I just had to look at this and pick, I would pick him to unseat Logan Paul, probably at SummerSlam.
I'll co-sign that right away.
All right. So yeah, all in all, I like it. I think it's going to freshen things up a little bit. Obviously, the champions being there, and I think that's really what everybody thought. I think they're, like Rob was saying a couple minutes ago, some people probably thought there were going to be more NXT call-ups. There aren't a whole lot of NXT talent that are ready. You know, I think the ones that they called up are the ones that are the most ready. Rob mentioned Fallon Henley a couple minutes ago. I think Fallon, I've watched her growth on the NXT house shows, and I really like her. I like the potential. I wasn't feeling the good old country girl gimmick. And they teased a heel turn with her this week, and it'll be interesting to see what she does with that. I know they tried a heel turn with Thea Hale, and it just wasn't working. I think Fallon, this may give her something to sink her teeth in into and branch out character wise, because I see the vision, but I think she needs to find a gimmick that she could cook with a little bit longer before they call her up.
That was one of those that I think she would have survived. She would have been just fine if they had called her up right now. But I think it's more advantageous for her to just, as we say, let them cook. Just cook for until the next, you know, and you can call her up in 6 months.
Yeah, because what was I going to say? Okay, as far as SmackDown, now, I guess one thing, they don't really have a lot of heels for Cody here. Because, you know, I mean, he's got AJ Styles coming up, you know, and we'll get to that in a minute, but.
Baby faces, you mean?
Jason, you stop it.
I mean, but, because that's why I thought they were going to bring Gunther over, because it's just, and this is, I guess, a discussion maybe for next week, maybe, but, you know, he finished the story, so now he needs another story. and right now, it doesn't look like there is one right now. And,
right.
I think Cody spends the summer having matches. I think you've got... Go ahead, Rob. I didn't mean to cut you.
Well, I think that's where it's going. It's just in the past. That hasn't been particularly successful. I mean, not that they didn't have good matches, but as far as holding the attention of the audience or whatever, that in the
especially,
past.
Man, especially for baby faces. Joke, but.
Well, cause like when they had Kofi and Seth after 35, that's what they did.
Yep.
And it didn't really work too great. I mean, with Drew, I mean, they didn't, I mean, they were in the PC, so there was no audience crowd to really judge.
Right.
But he was at least they did that with him, same thing. And, you know, I think he's had an actual feud with Randy a few months later, but at that first, because what happens is you can have some great matches, but then people just, they go in one ear and out the other one for people. Like Seth, after beating Brock Lesnar, he and AJ Styles had a title match at Money in the Bank, and it was every bit the 5-star extravaganza that you would want it to be, and nobody remembers.
Early prediction for me, the first big major feud for Cody Rhodes is going to be Randy Orton. I think Randy turns. I think we've been, it's Randy. That's what Randy does. You could, death, taxes, and Randy Orton's going to turn on you. Okay. There are three certainties in life. I look for Randy to be either Randy, Shinsuke, or Kevin Owens. Because Kevin Owens will turn on you too. Kevin don't care. And I think they teased that at WrestleMania, because if you remember, they had the moment with Sammy and Kevin when Sammy went out for the Intercontinental Championship match. And then they flipped that on night two when Kevin went out for the U.S. Championship match. Sammy was there. They teased that, hey, you know, I got mine. You go get yours. And then he didn't get it. Right. So that there's room for Kevin Owens to turn heel there. So there's potential there for Cody Rhodes to have some challengers for the remainder of the year and keep it interesting.
Yeah, I guess just like right now, it doesn't look like it right now. That's
right.
Let me see what else. The tag team, now that we are free from the albatross of the double tag team champions being a thing, now, like, those teams can actually, you know, the matches can actually mean something when they fight each other now, right? Because you're not just fighting for the right to lose to the double tag team champions.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, I think the tag team division can be, both shows can be something now. And look, I think again, SmackDown is, I think Chelsea and Piper are now that you can plug and play them now.
Yeah.
Cause they have a defined role and define gimmick and define personality and whatever. So I think you can put, and whereas like Alba Fire and Isla Dawn did not when they got called over there. So, or at least they didn't have time to establish. They didn't give them time to establish it on SmackDown. Hopefully they'll get, you know, they should get time to do that on Raw because you got more time to do stuff.
And while they're both good in the ring, that's very much a sports entertainy type of gimmick, and that's custom made for Raw.
And you gotta, and again, but you gotta give them time to actually establish it. And so now they have that. But Chelsea and Piper are, they're very much a plug and play
kind of thing.
And that's what SmackDown is. You gotta be plug and play. Like they don't have time to give, like, you know, to give this long, these long dramatic explanations of who you are and what you are and all this kind of stuff.
Right. There's no time for juxtaposition on SmackDown. Like,
you gotta get in there and go.
Right.
And so, Chelsea and Piper are, they're established now where they can do that. So I guess the biggest question is, like, how are they going to manage things with Cody over the next few months? Because, you know, like, he's going to have to have some type of program with some meat in it and with some, you know, cause look, we just got off of this thing with Roman and, you know, that was everything, right? And going from that to just having matches, you know, I mean, they're going to have to find some middle ground here, I think. Now, of course, there's a good chance he'll be fighting Dwayne at SummerSlam, and they won't need to worry
about
that.
That's a possibility. It'll either be Dwayne or Randy at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to build it. If Dwayne is available, if he's good to go, I think they are going to do that at SummerSlam, I think. I think that's the biggest match you can possibly do.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, so I think that's what they will do.
I think they do Dwayne and Cody at Royal Rumble, mainly because that kicks off the road to WrestleMania. And I think The Rock's biggest exposure is going to be during WrestleMania season. I think that's going to be him moving forward. Like, he pops up beginning of the year, starts pushing the agenda for WrestleMania, and then disappears after WrestleMania. I think he leaves the summer to the rest of the roster. That's just my call.
I can see that. Because now, of course, we fully expect to be Rock and Roman next year at 41.
Yes.
But right now, I mean, because y'all know I look into this stuff. Right now, I mean, as far as ratings and views and all that stuff on SmackDown, it's still basically the Bloodline stuff is ruling the roost here.
Yeah. All right. Jason, you got any final thoughts before we move on from the draft?
No, I'm just excited to see where we go from here. And, you know, once the draft actually sets in, then we'll get some stuff moving and see what happens.
Refresh some angles, refresh some people. I'm looking forward to it. I think we're going to be in for a fun summer, guys.
Yeah, man.
So before we get into the summer, we have one last little kind of spring premium live event coming from France. It is WWE Backlash. Jason is going to take over the show here, run down the card with us, and we can kind of talk a little bit. I don't have a whole lot of thoughts about this one. I don't want to treat this one like it's a throwaway, because every time we do that, they go out and they knock it out of the park. There's some really good matchups on this one, but I don't expect any major surprises coming out of this show. Jason, the floor is yours.
Sure. So we are going to kick things off with we have a tag team match where Randy Orton and Kevin Owens are teaming up to fight the new Bloodline, Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa. So we got Solo Sikoa acting, playing Tribal Chief and his MFT, Tama Tonga. And it's still weird and crazy seeing Tama Tonga in the WWE ring, by the way.
Just still takes getting used to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and most of the guys who jump ship is just like, oh yeah, okay, I'm used to it. It makes sense. Wow, it's cool to see them, but they already feel part of the family, you know? Tama Tonga does feel like he's in this storyline. He's part of the story. He's not like just a guest star, but it's still just surreal to see him. So maybe because he's just been one of the longest, rumored guys, and now it finally did happen.
Well, and then AEW marks were wanting him so bad, but I can probably, without knowing for sure, Mr. Haku probably pulled that young man aside and said, do not go to Jacksonville. Yeah. He's probably sat back and watched what's going on over there and said, don't go there.
And plus, Tom was 40. So
yeah, it's now or never. If you're going to go to the E, you're going to go now.
Yeah.
He shaved the beard and he trimmed the hair and whatnot, but he's older. So this could very well be the end of the beginning of the end, or the beginning of the last big run, or whatever you want to call it for him. So, but in any case, he's going to have a match with his pal Solo Sikoa against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. I think the Bloodline are going to win this. Unless Roman's going to come back immediately and like take the reins. If you really are establishing this Bloodline Civil War or whatever, or just even Solo Sikoa as a threat of being tribal chief, they got to win here, right? DJ?
Yeah, I don't expect any surprises here. I wouldn't even be surprised to see Randy Orton turn on Kevin Owens, just because, again, this is Randy Orton. This is what he does. But I do expect a good fight. Like, I expect this to be like the slobber knocker, as JR would say, match of the night. With all the elements in there, I'm looking for this to be fun.
Rob?
Well, I fully expect a number member of the NOIA family to make an appearance here.
You think we see Jacob?
Yes, I do. Yes, I think he. Yes, I now, think he.
Well, is Jacob Zilla?
Oh, no, different guy. Nope.
Zilla's another one. God bless. Yeah. I mean, Jesus.
It's like, how many of them are there?
Rikishi, lay off of that woman.
No, we'll get you some highlights, but Zilla and Jacob are very different, actually, in their fighting styles.
Yeah. But, so I think we get Jacob here. So I think Solo and Tom are definitely winning. I think it'll be because of Jacob. And,
yeah. Well, I mean, when you're overseas, you got to debut somebody in the Bloodline, the new member.
That's the rule of the Bloodline, I think.
Right?
Yeah, because we got Solo, and
it's just Solo.
I think we get Jacob here, and then. And I think they'll win this one.
All right. So next up, we've got the Kabuki Warriors defending their WWE Women's Tag Team Championship against Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. What a wonderful pairing of individuals. And I hope they win. That would be great. Rob?
Okay, so all signs point to them winning. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the tortured logic thing here again, because normally the women's tag team champions usually end up being based on Monday Night Raw. Even though it is a floating title, they usually end up being based there. And the Kabuki Warriors just got sent to Raw. So. Now, I mean, they definitely are going to lose to Jade and Bianca, but I was thinking that there's a possibility that they don't do it here and that they maybe hold them off for another month because once they do lose to Jade and Bianca, then Jade and Bianca are going to run with them, right? So do you want to do that right now, or do you want to maybe, wait another month? Although, look, I'm not going to be stupid this time. I'm going to pick Jade and Bianca to win. I'm not going to talk myself into some big, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go with the simple answers usually right.
Regardless, your opinion is they're going to win this at the end of this feud.
Well, absolutely. Yes. It's just a matter.
Okay.
It's just a matter of what date it's going to be. So, I think you could, have the Kabuki Warriors escape cheat or something here and then do it a little bit further down. And then that way you can, I think.
I
think you can get a little more mileage out of it, I think, before you do the switch. But the simplest answer is that yeah, they're going to win here. So.
All right, TJ.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I think that Bianca and Jade win here. Little sidebar on Jade. How awesome has it been seeing these house show videos pour in with her? Like, the woman genuinely seems like she's out there having the time of her life. And I think that's so cool because, you know, I didn't see much of her on AEW. And what I saw was, you know, not great, but I also think she just didn't have the road loop to hone her craft. And now she's out there under the tutelage of Bianca, under the tutelage of Naomi, and she's getting to grow. She's getting to blossom, and we're getting to see that. And I think we've got a star. I think it's been amazing. This is one of those I've talked about this with the NXT shows, watching Trick Williams develop into what he is, and Lash Legend and Thea Hale and Fallon Henley and all this up and coming talent, where they started and how they've ended up. You know, it's been amazing to watch, and we're watching this differently with Jade Cargill. You know, we're seeing people send in videos from house shows, and we're seeing little glimpses as they slowly, slowly peel back and reveal. I like what they're doing with her right now.
Well, I think
she's raw electric. She's just raw electric charisma.
Yeah, and I think, and look, it's, I think, well, look, there's an obvious reason why she appears to be having a better time.
Well, yeah.
you know, and that obvious reason is her two partners. You know, we don't have to dance around that, okay?
And if they were willing to do it, it was a smart decision for all three of them.
Yes.
Cause clearly, we don't even, when do we notice, like, the best acts? Like, when do we notice that, like, you know, that, oh my gosh, this act is just taking off. It's because when we know that these people are actually having a good time doing it. Like, that was half the reason the Bloodline was so fun with Sammy in that little run, was because it's just like, you guys are seeing, like, you're pulling all the best out of each other. And already in this short run, Jade, Naomi, and Bianca have done that. So then they're clearly having a ball, if you look at this.
Like I was telling you guys in the chat, sometimes I know a lot of people really felt like, because Bianca more or less main evented back-to-back WrestleManias with world championship wins at both Manias between Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch. Awesome for her. A lot of people felt like it was a step backwards for her to be in a tag team match on this year's WrestleMania. But you got to understand, there's a lot of pressure on being the top person and the champ. And sometimes I feel like you get to be more expressive and more creative when you're not. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah, because...
I know it's a stretch of an example, but I would tell those people that Roman Reigns was also in a tag match at that WrestleMania. So yes. It's really not a, you know... As long as it suits the need of the story, which, you know, this very much did with them.
Bianca is Teflon, and just because she steps down and runs into a tag team and helps bring this new girl along and elevate her so that she has someone else that she can dance with, you know, a year, 2 years down the road, it also gives her the freedom to go out and play. Just be an entertainer. At the end of the day, these people are all entertainers. And when you're the champ, you have an agenda and a map that is laid out for you because you are now at the top, one of the top storylines in the company. And when you're not in that, the pressure is off and you can go out there and just have fun at work. And it gives you a little bit of a break, especially somebody like Bianca. You can jettison her right back to the main event scene overnight. So it's not like her going out and having fun and you know, helping a new talent along and just going out there and being goofy, silly with Naomi. It's not a bad thing at all.
And then the match they had at WrestleMania, it wasn't like the meaningless, you know, wacky tag team match.
No.
It wasn't one of those. Right. And again,
And everybody shut up forever. We got that entrance. So shut up. I don't want to hear any complaints. Shut up.
Yeah. And then, and look, I mean, I think, and also for Bianca, look, I mean, in about 2 years ago, she went from having Sasha and Naomi there with her to being the only black woman on the roster. It happened like overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and look, it is, it's, you know, it's different. It's like when you're the only one. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a different experience. You don't, there are certain things where you need a sounding board, you know, who looks like you. Okay. And quite frankly, and so she went from having two of those to having none, right? Just in the course of a Monday night, right?
Yeah. Like overnight, they were literally the only two sounding boards she had for that were gone.
Yeah. And so she's had to go the last 2 years without that. While again, being women's champion and doing women's title programs and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure she's really enjoying herself. Again, this is probably a more fun time for her right now. And, you know, and Naomi's happy to be back. And now it's funny because they're all close to the same age. So calling Naomi a mentor would be,
I say mentor because Naomi has the most overall experience.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
Naomi has I want to say double the years, if not more, of experience.
Yeah, and so it's a good dynamic for the three of them. Jade, who just got there, Bianca, who's been there for a few years, and then Naomi, who is a veteran, has been there for a while. It's a good dynamic for the three of them to have each other. Whereas I think in AEW, Jade had to kind of watch her own back. You know? And there were no bad stories about her with anybody there. But at the same time, you know, she had to, you know, I don't really think there.
And Lord knows that place would leak them.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes. So
just the fact that there aren't any stories, I'm going to go ahead and say that there actually aren't any.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, because, I mean, AEW's gone out of its way to try and trash Cody Rhodes lately and, you know, anybody else that's jumped ship. They've been mum on Jade Cargill.
So, so you got to assume that there was nothing there.
Right.
And, but, again, like I said, but still, she had to look out. She only had herself to look out for herself there.
And so now she's got allies and support.
It's just a better environment for her here now. And, right. And so we spent a long.
We went down a little side road there. Jason, what's next?
We get a little excited when we have to talk about Bianca and Jade.
When we talk about our favorites, we go on sidebars. That's what happens on this show.
And speaking of that, some of you folks listening needed to hear that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of our favorites, we have another match with some of our favorites. We have Bayley defending her WWE Women's Championship against Naomi and Tiffany Stratton in a triple threat match. I don't think anything crazy will happen here. Like DJ said, I think this is very much just kind of, you know, we're going to just backlash is, you know, the coda at the end of the season. We're not doing anything crazy except for maybe we move one plot point forward. So I feel like Bayley's going to win this, and I don't really see where we go aside from Tiffany becomes the main challenger, or maybe her and Naomi break off and do something. Rob, what do you have here?
I think Bayley definitely wins and retains. So I think just the question is, we saw Nia Jax, you know, get involved last Friday. Does she show up here?
Could be the show of Lennon's. We got Jacob. We got we got a lot of Samoans.
Look, the Anoa'i family just keeps interfering in people's matches. They just keep showing up and running in.
Jesus. Yeah. What do you have here for the old triple threat for the women's champion, WWE women's champion?
No surprises here. I think Tiffany and Naomi, who have a feud bubbling anyway, can't get off of each other, and I think Bayley takes advantage of that, sneaks a win in on one of them, and Bayley moves on to feud with somebody else while Naomi and Tiffany continue their rivalry after this.
Alrighty. Rob?
Oh, well, you already
went. Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, Rob went. This time he remembered you all the times he skipped you.
Yeah.
He went back to you twice on this one. He's trying to make up for lost time. He's doing extra credit work right now.
Exactly. So next up we have the World Heavyweight Championship is being contested. The champion Damian Priest is putting his championship up against main event Jey Uso. I do believe Jey Uso is going to be a future world champion. I don't believe it is going to be his second crack at a world title. And the first one really didn't even count, you know, in terms of win or loss, because there was no way in hell he was winning that, everyone. And so I think this will be a ton of fun. And, you know, Damian's got Judgment Day in his back pocket. So, you know, that's how we get out of that. Rob?
I think Damian wins here. And look, this is going to be a test for Jey here, because this is his first big, this is a big singles match on a pay-per-view that doesn't involve the Bloodline, basically.
It's not someone he's rehearsed in the backyard with for 10 years, 20 years.
Yeah, well, that didn't quite work out the way it was supposed
to.
They gotta
go back to the drawing
board. Hang on, let's time out. We don't even have to dig that up.
For the most part
of the Bloodline versus the Bloodline matches, they've been excellent because, again, those guys have been doing these matches in their living rooms since they were five.
Yeah, so this will be an interesting test for him because, again, this is not against Roman, it's not against Jimmy, he's not teaming with Roman or Jimmy, and he had teamed with Cody a few times, he's not teaming with Cody either. This is, you know, just like the song, this is just me, right? When he comes out there. Yeah. So this is a big test for him on a pay-per-view, cause this time it is just him. So we'll see. Cause, you know, if he clears the bar in this match, then I think he's definitely will be on the list, you know. But if he goes out there and shits the bed, maybe not, you know? So this is a big test for him. You know, this is in its own way, it's as big a match for him as any of the other ones he had, because this is his real proving ground for whether or not, you know, he can fly solo here.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
DJ?
Yeah, I agree. I think Damian Priest retains. Do I think Damian Priest wins? No. I expect this will be my wacky finish of the night. I don't think Jey takes eats a clean pin here.
No, definitely not. There's going to be a JD McFunko Pop is going to get in there somehow. So last up, we have the main event. Well, presumably the main event. The undisputed WWE Championship is being this. I hate that they took Universal out of that, man. That is like the shit out of me.
Okay, did they actually do that, or is that?
Yeah, dude. Every time they've said it, what I'm looking at is Wikipedia, so I can't really. But it just reminded me. Yes, what's her name announces Cody as the WWE Undisputed Champion. They call it the Undisputed Champ, the WWE Championship, or the Undisputed Championship. They've like totally stopped saying Universal. And I hate it. It's so stupid that I even care this much about it. But it is so dumb because we spent how long building that fucking belt? And then we just, okay, it's the WWE Championship again.
Well, look, with the women's titles, I still call them the Raw and SmackDown women's title.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just dumb. Cause Cody, cause my daddy didn't almost win the WWF Universal Championship, so I have to carry around the WWE. All right, dude, call it the. It's okay. It's the same belt. It's the.
You're so bitter. It's been a month, Jason.
It's annoying, man. Brock put the shine on that belt, you know, and then Roman took it, you know, to a whole nother stratosphere. And then, and everyone bitched about what it looked like, and bitched about the name, and bitched about this, and bitched about that. We finally got that thing equal to, if not superior to the WWE Championship in terms of standing, even to the point where we combined them in this new era. We're marching forward, we're calling it the WWE Universe, and Cody wins, and it's 1997 again.
Wait till he brings back the Winged Eagle belt, buddy.
I will be mad online. I will be shoot mad online if they bring back.
We will have to do an emergency podcast if they do that, because I want Jason's real time, genuine reactions on the show.
If it's a 3D printed like US title, like the US title is now, and they do a, you know, a homage but a new version of the belt.
Yeah.
All right, now we're talking. Hey, I'm backing off. Yeah, let's do it, man. But if they really do just do the Winged Eagle, like, and maybe gussy it up a little bit, nope, get out of here. Let the past die. It's okay, guys. Anyway, Cody's going to win. AJ Styles is going to lose because Cody's the good guy, and we're going to, you know. And AJ Styles, I don't think he's fully formed this heel character to keep it a little serious here. We do try to do good content on this show. He's marching along this, like, this heel path, and kind of fleshing out this new character. I don't think he's quite there yet. But this match will probably go a long way to getting there. Rob.
Oh yeah, I think this is, yeah, I mean, it's kind of foregone conclusion here. Cody's going to win. I think this will be much like the match that, Seth Rollins had with AJ Styles 5 years ago. It'll be great, and you know, we'll kind of forget about it later.
Yeah. Yep. This is kind of a New Japan fan's dream, because those guys were like ships in the night in Japan, because as Cody was leaving WWE, AJ was coming on board, and then Cody went to Japan, and you know, AJ came from Japan.
Yeah.
So I say let them cook.
Well, and AJ, Cody even took AJ's seat at the table in the Bullet Club.
He did. He did. So there's indirect history there. I like this matchup. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Cody's not losing in no way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So there you go. That is the Backlash card, gents.
All right. Well, guys, I think we had a good show. I think we can wrap it there.
Yeah. And, so it's a 12 o'clock start? Or is
I think it's like a noontime start.
12 noon. God bless America.
Or I love it. I love those midday pay-per-views, man.
So. Yeah, man. We are going to make brunch, you know, I love just a midday pay-per-view, man.
I do, man. I can have my drinks and some snacks and, you know, when it's done, I've still got time to, like, sit down and game and process, and it's great. It's awesome. I love it. I wish they'd do it more. They need to go overseas more often.
Hell yeah, man. Nick Khan, let's go. Overseas.
Yep, let's do it.
Yep, because, well, we got, in the end of this month, there's, you know, King and Queen in the Ring over in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, they go back to Saudi Arabia, which will be fun. Those shows have really become fun shows.
Yeah.
The Saudi shows have. And I love that they're canon now, too. Because the first couple, they just went over and had matches for the sake of having matches.
Oh, man, they were some drip.
Yeah, the first couple were pretty rough. But now it's become canon, and I like it.
But I would like to, you know, sorry, WWE doesn't get a lot right. A lot of its detractors, one of my favorite little victory laps to take. One of my favorite things that people freaked out about. Oh, they're never going to have women matches. Triple H is just serving us bullshit. You know, he wants to have a women's match here one day. Well, now we've had like a bazillion. And by the way, the next Saudi PLE is King and Queen of the Ring. So
don't forget, we crowned Queen Selena in Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
Exactly.
And so, that's huge, man. All right, everybody, we are going to get out of here for this week. I want to thank you all for sitting through another episode with us. We appreciate you. We love you. Again, you've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chair Shot Radio Network. Going to wrap around the room here and I've already introduced them. I'm telling you guys, I've got to find a way to, like, recenter myself. I don't know what I need to do, but I am, like, a freaking shot out of a cannon most days. Anyway, going to thank my co-hosts, Jason, sir. Thank you. Fun show.
This is a blast, guys.
Always a good time with you guys. And from the Rob the Genius Podcast, Mr. Rob, sir, again, thank you for another fun show.
Always a pleasure.
All right. And for you, the listeners, again, thank you. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we're out of here until next week.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.